波熊点点铁心仙波抓熊波羊刀波四点三月瑞巴当下四点波得我仙波接点天
地波得我卡波吉波拉拉美巴
拉拉美南吉森三月熊点点得我仙家苏巴拉下四我吃得家四吉我东巴熊点点铁心仙巴抓熊巴羊刀巴苏点三月瑞巴当下四得我舍巴吉林天巴吉乌杜维卡罗吉瓦
拉那美巴拉达美南吉东巴三吉中天
德吉瓦舍吉图巴瓦舍萨瓦吉德吉斯吉乌东巴中天德吉吉舍巴扎中巴扬达巴苏贝三吉瑞巴达舍斯丹巴德瓦舍巴吉林
天巴
吉乌杜维卡罗吉瓦拉那美巴拉达美南东巴熊杰熊杰德吉瓦舍吉图巴拉舍萨瓦吉德吉斯吉乌乌维卡西甘杰吉乌杰当杰萨杰吉拉布玛顿波尼玛尼杰丹德纳乔杰索列杰克巴吉拉乔斯鲁当达布玛乔多苏朗瓦耶西甘苏斯杰东波扎卡巴吉杰苏纳拉美瓦孔布修尼吉拉乔斯鲁天主天巴吉恩达维舍色罗掌外克拉乔泽绝绝克达斯巴苏玛西
绝绝绝绝
克拉乔泽红布图绝绝天巴唐绝天别顿巴布苏玛云顿甘苏西绝绝绝拉乔泽罗塔别对照绝外克一位念诵来者尽，基督困难求救我，祈求求拉查萨，主内主外朗扬顿，拉巴塔拉拉主内，心结当巴云顿顿，根顿拉雅查萨罗尼巴吉亚米迦西，耶瓦菩萨措巴耶，红叶三尼永苏顿，顿涅三叶顿巴耶，伽玛惹日摩灭萨，鸠摩西瓦。修菩萨，弥勒罗当真达菩萨，多杰舍难得达拉达，增难地耶藏杰斯巴耶，波巴陀内坤杰扎德内，达达那达悉维拉彻贝，悉维陀勒卓瓦卓瓦哟。
Next, we recite the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, on page 4.Thus did I hear at one time the Bhagavan was selling a massive lotus mountain in Rajagriha, together with a great community of monks and a great community of bodhisattvas. At that time, the Bhagavan was absorbed in the concentration of the categories of phenomena called profound perception. At that time, Peshwara, look upon the very practice of the profound perfection of wisdom. He beheld those five aggregates also as empty of inherent nature. Then through the power of Buddha, the Venerable Shariputra said this to the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Aryavalokiteshvara, how should any son of the lineage train who wishes to practice the activity of the profound perfection of wisdom? He said that, and the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Aryavalokiteshvara,said this to the Venerable Sharadatiputra. Shariputra, any son of the lineage or daughter of the lineage who wishes to practice the activity of the profound perfection of wisdom, blow upon it like this, correctly and repeatedly holy, holding those five aggregates also of empty and inherent nature. Form is empty, emptiness is form, other than form, not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, discrimination, compositional factors are empty.Likewise, all phenomena are emptiness, without characteristic, unproduced, unceased, stainless, not without stain, not deficient, not fulfilled. Shariputra, therefore, in emptiness there is no form, no feeling, no discrimination, no compositional factors, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no visual form, no sound, no odor, no taste, no object of touch, and no phenomenon. There is no eye element.There is no ignorance, no extinction of ignorance, and so on up to including no aging and death, no extinction of aging and death. Similarly, there is no suffering, origination, and path. There is no exalted wisdom, no attainment, and also no non-attainment. Shariputra, because those of us rely on and dwell in the perfection of wisdom, the mind of structuration and without fear, having completely passed beyond error to reach the end point of nirvana, all the Buddhas who dwell in the three times also manifestly completely awaken to unsurpassable, perfect, complete enlightenment, reliance on the perfection of wisdom. Therefore, the mantra of the perfection of wisdom, the mantra of great knowledge, the unsurpassed mantra, the mantra equal to the unequal, the mantra that thoroughly pacifies all suffering, should be known as true since it is not false. The mantra of the perfection of wisdom is declared. Dayata gate gate para gate para sam gate bodhisattva. Shariputra, the bodhisattva mahasattva, should train the profound perfection of like this. When the Bhagavan rose with that concentration and commended the Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, Arya Lokiteshvara, saying, well said, son of the lineage. It is like that, seems like that. One should practice the profound perfection of wisdom just as you have indicated. Even the Tathagatas rejoice. The Bhagavan having thus spoken, the Venerable Shariputra, the Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, Arya Lokiteshvara, the surrounding in their entirety, along with the world of gods, humans, asuras, and gandharvas, with joy and hearty praise as spoken by a Bhagavan. I prostrate to the gathering of Dakinis in three chakras who abide in the holy yoga viewing space. By the powers of clairvoyance and magical emanation, look after practitioners like a mother her child. Aka samara jashtara samara pe. Aka samara jashtara samara pe. Aka samara jashtara samara pe. Samaraja Shadara Samaraya Pe Kaurikate Paragate Parasangate Bodhisoha. By teachings of the three supreme jewels, preparing parachutes. May it completely pacify. May all negative forces suppose the Dharma can give. 94,000 times. May it separate from problems and harmful conditions of Dharma. And just enjoy the Dharma and Vipassana. So next we do the long mandala offering, which is not found in this text, but following the long mandala offering we'll go to page 3 and do the short mandala offering.
ဒါကတော့ဆက်ကြည့်ပါသမမေပါနဲ့နိတန်တိပါဒုအဲခေါ်ရတယ်ဒုက္ခနာဆိုပါညောနဲ့အဲတေချာမတော့အဲနိတန်ကြည့်တယ်မလို့ဆုံးကြည့်တယ်တမ္ပါတော့ကြားစရာတဲ့အဲနိတန်တာဆိုမှတော့ရင်ချုံမညွှန်ဆုံးတော့ချာတယ်ပါလေ
So since beginning of lifetimes up to the current present moment until now, there's been continuously abiding in cyclic existence, experiencing countless forms of suffering. So it is but this once, you know, in all of our countless cyclic existence, that we have achieved this precious human rebirth with the various freedoms and endowments through which we have met the precious teachings of the Buddha. So this is one rare opportunity that we have achieved so far. So this time, having achieved this precious human rebirth, and also having met with the Buddhist teachings, this is like a golden time, a golden era for us, a good time in our existence. Therefore, we should strive with every effort to try to extract the essence, to make meaning of this precious human existence.
So therefore,
in order to extract the essence of this perfect human rebirth, the way to do that is by practicing, engaging in perfect Dharma practice. And to engage in perfect Dharma practice, we need to know the way of practicing Dharma and how to practice Dharma perfectly. And to gain the knowledge of how to do perfect Dharma practice, we need to engage in listening or hearing to the teachings. It's through hearing that we arrive at understanding, and then we can go about actually engaging in perfect Dharma practice. Therefore, it is for this purpose that we listen to these teachings. So therefore, please try to adjust your motivation in a positive way in this manner. So therefore, the content of the teaching that we're listening today is Lama Tsongkhapa's writing called The Three Principal Aspects of the Path. And so in actuality, Lama Tsongkhapa is considered as the embodiment, the very embodiment, as well as the emanation of Manjushri, the Buddha of Wisdom himself, but showing the aspect of a human form. So Lama Tsongkhapa, even though he himself was the embodiment of Manjushri, but he showed an ordinary aspect, going through the process of learning the various scriptures and then cultivating the meditative experiences, and then gradually coming to have visions or direct perception of the actual beholding the actual face of Manjushri himself. And then in order to benefit beings of later ages, then Lama Tsongkhapa wrote down the essential aspects of the path, like the most important aspect of the path of enlightenment, in a very short, concise form, which we are studying today, which is the three principal aspects of the path.
So
this teaching that is actually shown by the Buddha of Wisdom, taught by Buddha of Wisdom Manjushri himself, and then Lama Tsongkhapa had written it down at the behest of one of his disciples called Ngawachapa, which was one of his personal disciples living at the time of Lama Tsongkhapa. At his behest and request, this teaching was written down.
Mm-hmm.
Yamayogamengha namzun namzumseya teji. Tren zowo jene deyena ta jagwaya deso ne jangwa jene lamrin chimo sumbare. So ne lamrin chimi zawa nungo deyo namzun namzumseya nela todeyo.
So Lama Tsongkhapa had also composed what we call the Lamrin Chenmo, which is the great exposition on the stages of the Path of Enlightenment. So the Lamrin Chenmo itself is essentially the instructions of Manjushri himself, the Buddha wisdom, in which he talks about the way to cultivate the path to enlightenment. And so that text was composed upon the instructions of Manjushri by Lama Tsongkhapa. But in condensed form, it is essentially the three aspects, or the three principal aspects of the path. So actually, the three principal aspects of the path are the basis for Lama Tsongkhapa's composition of the Lamrin Chenmo.
So
here we say the three principal aspects of the path. So firstly, let's explain the word path. When we understand, for example, we want to reach a certain destination or, for example, a city, then we get onto the path or the road or the street that leads us towards that destination, such as that particular city or destination. So having entered into the path, then we end up reaching the destination that we desire. Therefore, using that as an example, then when you talk about the goal of Buddhahood, we strive to achieve this goal of Buddhahood, and we need to know which is the path to follow in order to end up at this destination. And therefore, the essence of the path is the three principles, or the three principal aspects. By cultivating the practice of these three principal aspects of the path, we achieve the goal or arrive at the destination of Buddhahood. Therefore, hence the word path is understood in this context. Firstly, in order the text, the three principal aspects of the path, as with other traditional texts, firstly there are three portions. The first is that of the making offerings and praises, prostrations towards a special holy object. And the second is that of making a promise to compose the text. And the third portion is the actual composition. So in this case, these are the three portions. They comprise the three portions of the traditional text. So as in the beginning of any major activity that one may engage in, prior to that one needs to make offerings and prayers to holy objects in order to request their blessings for success of that project. Therefore, in this case, at the beginning of the composition of this text, Lama Tsongkhapa makes prostrations and reverence, pays homage to the holy objects as well. So in this case, at the beginning of the text, it says, I bow down to the Venerable Lamas. So in general, when different masters were composing different texts, they made homage or reverence towards various different forms of Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and various deities. However, amongst all of the objects of refuge, the most important is that of the spiritual master. As it is said in the Lamrim, the root of all realizations, or the root of the path, is devotion towards the virtuous friend, or this spiritual master. Therefore, in this case, Lama Tsongkhapa makes offerings and homage, pays homage to the spiritual master. In this case, since Lama Tsongkhapa, when he's composing his text, it is said that Lama Tsongkhapa's role is after he had received a vision of Manjushri, he had constant experience of Manjushri appearing to him as if it were like a real person, not just through meditation, not just through times of meditative concentration or through dreams, but in direct perception as you and I would see each other. So that was how Lama Tsongkhapa could see Manjushri. And Lama Tsongkhapa was said to have a direct teacher-disciple relationship with Manjushri, the Buddha of Wisdom. Henceforth, in this context, when Lama Tsongkhapa says, I bow down to the Venerable Lamas, we can understand that to be actually Lama Tsongkhapa paying reverence or homage to Manjushri, the Buddha of Wisdom. So it says here, I bow down or I prostrate to the Venerable Lamas. So here it is showing prostration or reverence through the three doors of body, speech, and mind. So the way of showing reverence through the mind is to generate faith towards the object of reverence. Firstly, generating faith in the mind. Secondly, paying homage to speech, which is the recitation or the verbalization of the various qualities of the object of reverence. In this case, it simply consists of this line, I bow down to the Venerable Lamas. And then thirdly, prostrations or reverence to the physical body is by showing, for example, reverential or respectful posture, such as putting our palms together and so forth, and doing physical prostrations. So here, when we talk about verbalizing the qualities of the Lama, it says here, I bow down to the Venerable Lamas. So the word venerable in Tibetan is pronounced as Jezun. So Jezun, you can spell as J-E-T-S-U-N, Jezun. So Jezun comprises of two words, Jezun Lama. Jezun Lama is the whole word, so it's Venerable Guru is Jezun Lama. So the word J itself has a connotation of a something that is very lofty, something is of superior quality of a lord, nature of a lord and so forth. So in this case, the word J is used to describe the quality of the spiritual master being able to protect the practitioners or disciples from falling, from falling into the lower realms of existence, hence possessing such qualities, being able to protect the disciples, therefore the word J. And then Sun here in this case refers to the Lama having the spiritual master having the quality of being able to free the disciples from the bondage of sacred existence. And through the practice of the three higher trainings, and the three higher trainings are those of the higher training of ethics, higher training of meditative concentration, and higher training of wisdom. Here it refers specifically to the higher training of ethics. So therefore the word sun also has a connotation of ethics as well, but here it refers to the quality corresponding to the middle scope. And then the third word, lama, jizun lama, which means spiritual master. The word lama in Tibetan actually means that which is no higher, that of which there is no higher. Therefore, so this refers, within the three scopes of the path of enlightenment, this refers to the being of the greater scope, in which case it is the highest of all three scopes, the lower scope, the middling scope, and the higher scopes. So these three words, jizun lama, actually refer to the qualities of the spiritual master possessing the realizations of full qualifications of the three scopes of being of the path of enlightenment.
Tumba tamjava. Ani lamso namso muse de ya tanda. Ani yong chong sim. Yong da ge tawa sum de la. Namjo tawa namso muse. Shubu ya chi. Ani yong chong se ya de. Kowa ta ta dunga ji rong ji jen de pong ne. Tele tando je lo shu cha bu se ya. Tende je la yong chong se ge ya rwa. Yong chong. Ani yong ne tanda. じゃあ、その中に任務とその辺で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何人状態で、何
So first, and following this line is the promise to compose this text. So here, the context of this text is the three principles of the path, which are renunciation, bodhicitta, and the right view of emptiness. So here, the word renunciation here refers to the mind that wishes to be free from the bondage of cyclic existence after having seen the suffering nature of cyclic existence. So firstly, seeing the suffering nature of cyclic existence, then generating the strong wish, the desire, determination to be free from such a state is the mind of renunciation. So essentially, all of Buddhist scriptures show this idea or principle of the thought of renunciation. The proof is that because all of Buddhist teachings essentially teach the various disciples the various means for abandoning the afflictive emotions, you know, the various delusions, and through abandoning the various delusions or afflictive emotions, one is thereby freed from the bondage of cyclic existence, and one achieves liberation from cyclic existence. Therefore, the essence of all the Buddhist teachings, since it shows the method for freedom from to be free from delusions, therefore it shows that the essence of the Buddhist teachings is renunciation of the cyclic samsaric existence state.
Yes, Dhammanam Jengabe Nam Nimbar Da De Ne Chungjuji Semteng Yoke Da Chungjuji Semteng La Ne Jase Dhamma Ase Chungjuji Semteng Yoke Yoke Se Sina Che Chungjuji Semteng Yoke And this one just manam yang be num and it's on juji semi chati or and that's on juji semi seate yoga inna and this one you come on to yake you tumbote chuma in bate. And this one juji semi yona reda and it does that the ten member no then the tundu ten no one in a yon and the justice on juji semi bas. 비관이 그런 거 되죠. 그래서 열두 성질 공부 도발 체계를 송바인도 성주 선배 남지 나비 남무스 송입니다.
So just now when we talked about renunciation being the basis of the essence of all the teachings of the Buddha, we can see here in the second paragraph of this text on page 7, it says on the second paragraph, or the first paragraph, the second line, it says here, the essence of all the teachings of the conqueror. So that refers to the mind of renunciation being the essence of all teachings of the conqueror, which teaches one to abandon all afflictions. Then the following line, the third line, says the path praised by the conqueror's offspring. So here the conqueror's offspring refers to the bodhisattvas. And here this line is explicitly referring to the bodhicitta mind, the mind wishing to attain enlightenment, to benefit others. So once one has the bodhicitta mind existing in one's own mind stream, one is considered a bodhisattva in the sense that having this bodhicitta in one's mind stream, one then therefore has the direct cause for enlightenment or Buddhahood. So once, even though one may be physically abiding in an inferior bodily state, you know, for example, one may be even born as an animal, but as long as one, so being an animal is considered an inferior physical state of existence. However, if that animal possesses the mind of bodhicitta, that animal is considered very precious in the sense that it is considered as a bodhisattva by the virtue of the bodhicitta and its mind stream. Therefore, if on the contrary, if one does not have bodhicitta in one's mind stream, but one has very strong realization of renunciation or the correct view of emptiness, even one has such incredible qualities, but yet does not have bodhicitta, one is not considered as a bodhisattva or a child of the Buddhas. Therefore, here it says it is a path praised by the conqueror's offspring, which refers to the mind of bodhicitta as being very precious. And because through the practice of bodhicitta, one can complete all of one's accumulation of virtue as well as wisdom, and one can also purify all of one's negative karma on the basis of bodhicitta practice alone. And also by cultivating bodhicitta, one will gradually reach the state of full enlightenment of Buddhahood. Yes.
근데 단도 남지 용어대에 이 말이 다 근데 단도 남지 용어 이 말이 다 타바토바 제비 용어 남아 용난 고 근데 내가 아니 단다 돈이도 비 싫어도 이 말이 자 돈이도 비 싫어도 매나 타바토야 매가리 근데 고하는 고를 내야 돼 단지 마리병 온게 고하는 고되기 어려워. 근데 단지 마리병 온 고한 고가 인도 근데 고하를 타바 제바나 대인님 못 제고기 어려. 단지 근데 단지님 뭐는 대단대 농농 가서 남에도 그 싫어 공고기 어려. 근데 인도에는 가든 탄도 남지 단 용어 그게 유고기서 오는 건데 돈이도 그 싫어 인도 대인에 돈이도 그 싫어 없지.
So then we move on to the third line, or the last line rather, and it refers to the third principle, which says the entrance for the fortunate ones is desire liberation. So here it refers to the correct view of emptiness, and the entrance here refers to the practice, you know, of the correct view of emptiness through which we can achieve liberation from samsara. So here, without the correct view of emptiness, one cannot attain liberation from samsara or cyclic existence. Therefore, one needs to cultivate that, because the root of cyclic existence or samsara is ignorance that grasps onto the self of person and phenomena as being inherently existing. Therefore, since that grasping is the root of all cyclic existence, we need to meditate on an opposing mind, which is the antidote that negates such a fantastical projection of a self of persons and phenomena. Once you meditate or you apply this antidote, then you negate that state of mind, and therefore you're able to achieve, cut the root of samsara, sever it, and then free yourself from such a state of suffering and achieve liberation. Therefore, here this line refers to the practice of the wisdom of emptiness.
Yes. 이제 다 제일 먼저 쏜데, 이제 사보, 능보, 이제 인도, 이제 태공, 레레, 인도, 인도선이 오늘따라 숨가는 자네요, 시에나 세주요.
So therefore, in this particular paragraph or verse, then you can see that each of these individual lines are referring to the three principal aspects of the path. The first, or rather the second line in this case, is referring to the mind renunciation. The second, or the third line in this case, refers to that of bodhicitta, and the next line refers to the wisdom of emptiness. So therefore, in Lama Tsongkhapa's writings are extremely profound in that not only poetry, but within that composition itself, you know, very profound meanings can be expressed and condensed.
Yes.
So actually, in this particular verse, it begins with the line, I will explain as well as I'm able, but naturally, in the Tibetan text itself, this line ends up as the last line in that particular verse or paragraph. This is because of the grammatical difference. However, it says here, I will explain as well as I'm able. This is an act of deference in which Lama Tsongkhapa shows his humility, and also in order to subdue his pride in the process of composition. So Lama Tsongkhapa expresses his humility by saying that, you know, I will try my best, that he will try the best of his ability to try to explain the essence of the teachings or the three principal aspects of the path, even though he may not necessarily be able to perfectly explain it in total accordance with the intention of the Buddha. However, he will try his best. So this is one of Lama Tsongkhapa's way of expressing humility.
Yes. 근데 남자도 남성도 냠냠진 주의가 제단 총바신도 근데 책임이 좋더라요 말이에요. 내가다 가에 거네 내때 투소지 땡기니 했었네. 제단 유진에서야 된대 거하는 줄.
So the another understanding is that the actual experiences of the path of enlightenment are unable to be perfectly expressed. You know, there are limitations in verbal speech. However, they can be described within the limits of verbal speech. However, through that alone, one is unable to directly experience the state of realizations of the path of enlightenment just by words alone. So this one can understand through this connotation as well.
Yes. 단조 동요장스 좀바의 저집에 남는 유동의 가든에다 당연히 유진용 그래서 근데 간다세비들 마차신의 성윤들 근데 세방 거기 대화나 세네 그래 주님 바이나 대 근데 탑이 타바토비 탑슨 로그마르와 근데 타바토비 탑슨 로가 되나 간디지 고아르세나 시비대와는 마차비고네. 얘는 얘고 그래서 성인마. 건다 시비대는 마차신에서.
So then we come to the third portion, which is encouraging the disciples to listen, or encouraging the disciples to listen. So this line is in this verse. It says, "Listen with clear minds, you fortunate ones, who direct your minds to the path pleasing to Buddha, who strive to make good use of leisure and opportunity, and not." Are not attached to the joys of samsara. So therefore, to those who strive to achieve a meaning in their perfect human rebirth, which is endowed with leisure and opportunity, the way to listen and people, those who direct their minds to the path pleasing to the Buddha, then they should listen with a mind that is not attached to the joys of samsara or the pleasures of second existence. So this is a state of mind that the disciples should approaches path of practice.
제일 내 주요 두 번이나 다르게 되는 님보 넘어 차게 요로 봐. 옛날 주요게 나왔네요. 네. 그 두바지 뭐 두바지 뭐 주. 이제 손재 주제제 남재 님보다 그래서 종주 있으면 잘 돼요. 옛날 종주 있으면 종주도 제일 두 번이나 다르게 되는 님보 초 넘어 봐. 옛날 단조 동요 자체였을 때는 선제 담지의 동안도 선제의 공부 토바 자원연배 삼바 단지제 토바인이나 단조 동요가 중반인도 단조 동요 자체였을 때 종주의 선배고는 예고야 소원입니다.
So here we see this entire second paragraph in Tibetan it is reversed so such that the last line is actually the first line and the second last line is actually the second line. So this in any way the first line that says are not attached those who are not attached to the joys of samsara refer to the mind of renunciation which is one of the three principal aspects of the path and the second is that those who strive to make good use of leisure opportunity so those people who recognize the precious human rebirth that they have achieved endowed with leisure and the opportunities to cultivate the path then want to make meaning of their this perfect human existence. They're trying to make meaning out of it. So those who strive to do so should actually cultivate the mind of bodhicitta. So amongst all the Buddhist teachings, the highest teachings are those of the greater vehicle, the Mahayana, whose essence is the mind of bodhicitta, the mind of enlightenment. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the mind of bodhicitta, by cultivating it, one is able to achieve the goal of making good use or achieving meaning within this perfect human rebirth endowed with leisure opportunity.
Mm-hmm. 야집이 남으세요. 제가 교회에서 레전드에 대박하겠다. 그래 된다나요? 이제 야집이 남 죽어요래. 이나다나데 이제 야집이 남으시면한테 이제 동반이 또 비실어. 동료도 비실어 때문에 말해. 근데 그래다 동반이한테 또 가와. 마도는 고아는 말로봐. 근데 이제는 본인들다 이치 가고 자들이 와요. 돈만 매번에 단지 말고 온들 소원인자 단지는 검소원인자 대개는 따와대는 매연들 따와대라 아니 간다 그다 제로비 땅에 전에 몸보지 소원해 몸비 따와지야니나 아니 좀 다시 따와 전에 몸보지 소원해 따오마 단지 따와 본인도 비시라 대니
So then the third line is those who direct the mind, your mind to the path pleasing to Buddha. So in this case, this refers to the wisdom that realizes emptiness. So has refers to the third principle, which are the path, which is the wisdom realizing emptiness. And generally, emptiness is a phenomenon that is difficult to perceive. It's difficult to achieve realization of. However, if we do not achieve such a cultivate such a practice of achieving such a view, correct view of emptiness, one is unable to free oneself from cyclic existence, the bondage of cyclic existence. Therefore, the reason being that since beginningless rebirths until now, we have always been bound by our view, grasping upon the inherently existing self as being real. So we have been habituated to with that view that grasps upon this inherently existing self. So therefore, in order to free oneself from such a state, one needs to familiarize oneself with the view of emptiness. And the view of emptiness in the Buddhist tradition is being presented on the basis of the four schools of tenets. And within the four schools of tenets, that of the highest, which is the Madhyamika Prasangika view, then as the view of the Prasangika school of the middle way, then that is the highest or the most profound aspect of the view of emptiness. And those who generate faith towards this view are considered to be extremely fortunate because then they're the ones, true ones, who are able to actually cut the root of cyclic existence and free themselves from its bondage. Therefore, here, this particular verse then refers to the practice of the correct view of emptiness.
이 말이다. 대답에 관련 대답 동의 예진용 손에 임박고 같이 대형에 노카보바 노샵 주말제 노샵도바 대답에 좀해 같이 좀 보면서 용성 임박에 임박다 노카보바세나 무제제 카보네 요아이나 대형은 최다로 주간제 누가 있나요 노노의 중심 면로 논시 주제들 あ、天の像の、あ、天の像の、あ、自分の、あの、つまじちゃうところで。天で言うんで、あの、ロスウェネビコに念をです。そう思います。あ、あの、シャブドは、なんで、あ、カブバイを前に、あの、つまじの前に、あの、シャブドで言うな、あの、なんだかせちないよ、あの、つまさるところ。あ、天の像に、あの、中でだって、あの、この野望に、あの、念別
So then, therefore, the last line in that verse in Tibetan actually refers is that last line which says is the first line in English which says listen with clear minds, you fortunate ones. So here, exhorting the disciples to listen refers to exhorting the disciples to pay attention to the teachings, to listen in the perfect way. And traditionally in the Lamrim, it refers to this analogy of three types of vessels, referring to the three different types of attitudes that we should abandon, or three types of faults we should abandon when listening to the Dharma teachings. The first is the example analogy of an inverse vessel, and the second is that analogy of a contaminated vessel, and the third is that of analogy of a leaky vessel. So, for example, if you have a vessel for containing liquid or juice in this case, then if we invert it, you know, you sort of cut it down on its mouth, you know, then no matter how much juice or liquid you pour onto it, you know, not the slightest bit of it will go into the container or the vessel, therefore does not serve its function, one's unable to enjoy the contents. So in this case, if one comes to the Dharma teaching but yet does not pay attention, and one's mind is everywhere else but focused on the teachings, in this case it's like an inverted vessel or an inverted container. So the second analogy is that of a contaminated vessel. So even if one has a proper vessel but one has not cleaned it thoroughly, and it's sort of like contaminated with grime and so forth, then even though you may pour very nutritious contents, you know, into it, one is unable to enjoy it because then it becomes contaminated upon containing those liquids. So therefore, in this case, one should, even though one may come to a teaching, but if one has impure motivation or negative thoughts and intentions, in this case, that even though the teachings themselves are very pure in content, because of one's impure motivation, one contaminates the activity of listening to the Dharma due to that impure motivation. Then the third analogy of a leaky vessel, for example, if you have a vessel that is leaky, no matter how much nutritious content you pour into it, eventually you'll all leak out and you end up with nothing. So in this case, even though one may come to a Dharma teaching, one may be paying attention, one may have a very positive motivation, however, if one does not strive to retain the contents of the teachings within one's own memory, then eventually when one leaves the Dharma hall, you know, all of the knowledge is gone. So therefore, in this case, one should try to abandon that as well. So one should try to retain as much of the teachings as one can within one's memory. So therefore, these are the three different attitudes or faulty attitudes that should abandon when listening to a Dharma.
Yes. 남당인 좀에봐 선서에 된데 돈이 시비 탐해라 시라 깜방이 좀 되지나 끊는 신데 토망인 좀 사는 것 소원이 말해 대형에 kuwa tata dunga ju rongji jinda tong yi kuwa da jo xie jie kuwa da ngipan jundu jie lo jie kwa re tong ma kuwa tata dunga ju rongji jinda tong yi yin te la jo xie jie lo meba yin na namda ngin jo meba yin na kuwi rewa rita kuwi de chi da tende yin chi ma pen jo ge rita chi ma Mozart family composer. Tender again, then the Tony Shivy Tavingo Mares.
So then we move on to the next line, which says, those with bodies bound by the craving for existence and so forth. So in this, in this verse, again, the first line is actually the second line. It says, without pure renunciation, there is no way to still the attraction to the pleasures of samsara. So these, the third and second and third line are actually the first and second lines in the Tibetan text. So it says here, if one does not cultivate a pure thought of renunciation, so in this case, this entire paragraph is describing or talking about the first principle, which is that renunciation. So it says here, if one does not have perfect renunciation towards the sufferings of psychic existence, there's no way to still the attraction to the pleasures of samsara. So even though one may cultivate a path, if one does not have renunciation to a psychic existence, one may still be tempted to strive to achieve higher rebirths in the God realms in one's future lives. Instead of aspiring to total liberation from psychic existence, one strives for a higher state of existence, however, which may be just another mere samsaric state. So therefore, one should generate pure renunciation when cultivating a path. So then it says, those with bodies who are bound by the craving for existence, then it says, thus from the outset see renunciation. So in this case, we must understand that what binds us to this cyclic existence is simply the thought that is craving, the mind that does not turn away from being attracted to the pleasures of cyclic existence. As long as the mind does not turn away from such attraction, one is tempted to strive for the various so-called pleasures that it seemingly promises within its existence. So in this case, one needs to destroy the root of cyclic existence, but one must understand how cyclic existence comes about. It is because of, firstly, the craving for cyclic existence, and then, therefore, one arises also the various afflictive emotions and delusions. And one, due to this desire of grasping attitude, then of the various afflictive emotions, then one accumulates karma, one creates more karma, which in turn causes the cyclic existence to turn once more, it propels one further more into cyclic existence. So therefore it is like this unending cycle that goes on and on, which is operated by or propelled by the force of afflictive emotions and karma. So therefore, these two bind us within cyclic existence. So firstly, one needs to abandon the grasping attachment attitude towards cyclic existence by by seeing the false self-existence and turning one's mind away from the thought that strives to achieve the pleasures of self-existence, this is the way to cultivate the pure renunciation from the outset. Yes.
So here,
in order to generate renunciation, one needs to focus on the suffering nature of cyclic existence. In order to turn one's mind away from the attraction or temptation of samsaric pleasure and towards the goal of liberation. And in order to do that, so the so-called the mind of renunciation is also the mind that renounces future lives. You know, one has given up the attraction of achieving a higher state of existence in future lives, a higher state of samsaric existence. So therefore, in order to reverse the attraction or to turn away from the attraction of future lives, one needs to firstly turn away from the attraction or give up the attachment towards this life, this current life. So the way to do that, in order to generate renunciation towards the affairs of this life, one needs to meditate on things like the precious human rebirth, you know, how this precious human rebirth complete with the various freedoms and endowments is difficult to obtain and possesses great meaning. And also one then focuses also on death and impermanence. So by focusing on these two, then one gives up the attraction or attachment towards the affairs of this life.
So
firstly, one needs to meditate on this precious human rebirth. And we say this is a rebirth endowed with various freedoms and richnesses. So here we understand that this precious human rebirth possesses what we call the 8 types of freedoms as well as the 10 richnesses. So by having this precious human rebirth and understanding it to be extremely precious in the sense that this such a situation is difficult to meet and it possesses great meaning and that one can achieve great meaning for this precious human rebirth, and also understanding that this precious human rebirth is very difficult to achieve, you know, thereby one propels oneself, you know, inspires oneself to engage in the spiritual path. So here the 8 freedoms are so-called because they refer to a state whereby we are free from the 8 adverse or opposing circumstances that may prevent us or stand in our way of achieving the spiritual goals of practicing the Buddha Dharma. And the 10 richnesses here refer to a state whereby one possesses the various external and internal supportive conditions that help oneself in cultivating or practicing the Buddha Dharma, following the path of enlightenment. So therefore, it is called the precious human rebirth endowed with the richnesses and freedoms and richnesses.
Me mekhomba jetan, me manyumbe mekhomba jes, son re. mē māyē mē mē kōmbē shē chē wē yin nā, nē ngē sōng sōng dā sā sē rū mō sē yā tē sōng bā rē. Tā ngē sōng sōng dā chē yō ngā, nē lōngā jī nā nē chū chā wē kā mē bā chē. Nē chū tōng kēng dā tēn rē yōng kā mē bā chē. Kā sē yōng bā yin nā yō, lōngā kā wōng kē, nē chū chā wē kā mē bā yin dū, tē lō mā chī bā tā mī yā, tā nā nē, nē rē kē lū tēng tō bā rē, lī tō dā chū dōm. dōm nukī yōre, sāmi gāwā kōmko yā. Nī sāsē rūmbō sē yā tē, kē tā lā, sāsē rūmbō sē yā tē, kē tā, zūmē jī sōcē, yōng sāsē rūmbō yīn bārē, zūmē jī sōcē nī chū tūkē, tā sōmē bā yī tā, dā yā wā mārē wā, tēndē yīn lē, chū tūkē kā mē bārē. Tē kā nō yī, nī, mīshī mē bī sāsē yā tē, yīn nā, nī, jī yun tū kō nā, jī sōng sāmbā jī. Nī, shiwe ka na shi song, shi ki loo samba chi. Tende ka mato samno kwaya me denge. Tenyo ni ngon gewa sa ya ki dribu dunga mewa chi. Ni kaba mungbu reng la nguma gewe dribu te se. Eta, eni teni ma junye dubi kaba me, teni loo na inge song jen loya. Taka, te tabu chi yo na, eni chu dubi kaba yo ma re. Ngumye song nam jen loya mato kaya mewa. Tende,
So when you talk about the eight freedoms, we refer to freedom from various adverse circumstances that may stand in our way for cultivating the Buddha Dharma. So here the eight freedoms are divided into two groups of four. Those which are related to human existence and those which are not related to the human existence. So those which are not related to human existence are referred to being born in the three lower realms of hell realms, hungry ghosts, and animals. If one is being born in any of these three states of existence, one experiences only suffering. One experiences countless suffering and one is unable to practice the Buddha Dharma. One is unable, in these realms, one is unable to meet with Dharma teachers who reveal the path of enlightenment. Even though one may meet with such Dharma teachers, the extent of suffering in those realms, as well as the ignorance, then stands in one's way, and blocks one from, prevents oneself from cultivating the path. Therefore, by focusing on the suffering in the lower realms, and seeing that one is, at this current moment, one is not being born in such realms, one should meditate upon joy, focus on cultivating the joy that one is having achieved this freedom from such as for these three states. Then the fourth of this first group is being born in the realm of the long life gods. So if one is born in the realm of the long life gods, there are different realms. If one is born in the formless realm, then in this state, because there is no form, there is only mere consciousness, then there is also no sound within that realm of existence. Therefore, because there is no sound, therefore they are unable to hear the Dharma, and they are unable to cultivate that path. For example, those beings who achieve very high states of existence, psychic existence, whereby they even abide in long states of meditative concentration without a single thought arising in their minds, you know. So for these beings who are born into these realms, they only have two moments of thought. The first moment of thought is when they are being born into that realm. So there's a recognition that, oh, I'm being born into this realm. So due to the habituation of meditative concentration from past lives, then they immediately enter into this dull state of meditative concentration whereby they cease all mental activity. And then they remain in long periods of meditative concentration without moving from those states. However, this does not mean they have purified the negative karma, because they still have a lot of negative karma from previous existences. And by remaining in this state of meditative concentration, they actually, because it's still within secular existence, they are using up a lot of their positive karma to be in the higher realms. So then, in this long periods of time, whereby they have no thought in their minds, eventually the second thought that comes into their minds when their karma is finished. When their karma to abide in the realm is finished, then they are moved to come out of that state, and then they recognize that, oh, I'm dying, you know. Then when that karma is finished, then they fall to the lower realms again and experience countless sufferings. So therefore, if being born in such states is considered unfavorable to practice the Buddha Dharma. And so therefore, one should rejoice that one is not being born under such conditions which hinder one's ability to practice the Buddha Dharma. And one should constantly focus on the joy. So then, the other four conditions which are related to the human existence, they are firstly, even though one is free from these other four states of existence, which are not conducive to Dharma practice, then one may also be born in the human realm. In this case, even if one is born in the human realm, but one may be born during a time where the Buddha has not appeared in this world. So even though there are Buddhas constantly appearing in this world, there are times where we call the Dark Ages, whereby the teachings of the previous Buddha have disappeared from the face of this earth, and the next Buddha has yet to come to this earth. So therefore, that period of time is considered Dark Ages, because the Buddha's teachings are not existing in this world. So if one is born during that time, one is unable to meet the Buddha's teachings and practice the Buddha Dharma. But this is not the case with ourselves, because we have been born into an age where the teachings are still existing. Then, even though we may be born into a time where the teachers are existing, the second misfortune is that we may be born in a place where the teachings have not spread. You know, we may be born in a country that's far away from the Buddha Dharma when the Buddha Dharma has not reached. You know, therefore, one has no access to the Buddha Dharma for where we may be staying. So in this case, this is not the case. We're abiding in a country whereby we have access to the Buddha Dharma. So this is another freedom. So then the third misfortune is that even though we may be born in a time where the teachings exist, in a country where the teachings exist, however, we may not have the proper faculties, physical and mental faculties, to be able to learn the Dharma. In this case, some people have mental impairment or have difficulty understanding the Buddha Dharma. You know, they have difficulty apprehending or understanding the teachings. So in this case, they're unable to practice the Dharma. So we are not in such a situation, because we have the human intelligence and we have perfect senses in order to be such that help us to understand the Buddha Dharma. So this is another freedom. So the fourth one is that even though we may be born in a time where the teachings have appeared in this world and be born in a country where the teachings have spread, you know, we may have perfect senses, but then we may be born into families of wrong views. You know, we may grow up in an environment with extremely wrong views that oppose the Buddha Dharma, that rejects the Buddha Dharma. So in this case, if we are being conditioned by our upbringing to not turn towards the Buddha Dharma, then this is an unfortunate situation where one is born into a family of wrong views. So then again, we are not under such bondage of such unfortunate circumstance. So therefore, these four conditions, we are free from these four misfortunes. So therefore, we should generate great joy, thinking this is the kindness of the spiritual master in the three jewels. In the previous existence, we had cultivated enough good karma and positive conditions to render ourselves this perfect human rebirth. So we should constantly rejoice in such a beneficial state over and over again. So then the 10 endowments or the 10 richnesses in this case are again divided into two groups of five. The first group is that those five richnesses which are from one's own side, from the side of the practitioner. And the other five richnesses are from the side of others, you know, that is the environment and the people around them. So firstly, the five richnesses possessed by the practitioner himself. Firstly, the first condition is that of being born a human. So it's, you know, similar, some aspects are similar to the eight freedoms. So firstly, the first is being born a human. By being born a human, one can cultivate the path to enlightenment, one can practice the Buddha Dharma. The second condition is being born in a country or a land where the Dharma is spreading in that land. So again, this is very direct. And then the third condition is possessing the perfect sense faculties. So, you know, again, if one is not mentally, or if one's intelligence is not impaired, then one can understand and cultivate the Buddha Dharma. And then the fourth richness is the second richness is that of the land where one is abiding possesses the proper sangha. You know, the entire sangha refers to the fully ordained monk and nun and the novice monk and nun. So the bhikshu, bhikshuni, shramanera, and shramanerika. So these four four members of the sangha should be abiding within that land. So that's the third richness. The fourth richness is that of possessing perfect sense faculties, and the fifth is that of having not having committed a heinous crime, you know, having faith in the law of cause and effect, the law of karma. So this fifth quality refers to that because of the law of having faith in the law of karma, one does not create any of the five heinous crimes, which is killing one's father, killing one's mother, killing an arhat, you know, destroying Buddha statue, or causing a schism in the monastic community. So any of these five heinous crimes, if one creates it, then it becomes a heavy obstacle to oneself when cultivating the spiritual path to enlightenment. So therefore, if one has faith in karma and does not create these heavy negative karmas, one does not have this obstacle to cultivating the Buddha Dharma. So therefore, these are the five richnesses related to the practitioner himself or herself.
And 말이다. 근데 류토 매나요 남내슈비 공사 예 미베다사 요된게 된대지게 예 순말이 대제대다 손전지대는 패드비가 손제 샤슈드비가 된대지를 지한데 순말이 그래서 다 대도진 진진 손이요 그래서 이 말이다 손전지대는 배반은 라위 로나 주통비 교회신이 패배 메베다사 텐데 요아 옌두 텐데 디제데 옌두바 통요 레제어 다 옌센옌네 제바오스 옌지 추두빈 텐제 두미네 땡겐요 아 디응아텔레 신종아치아레
So then there is the other five missions which arises it's sort of like comes from the environment or the people outside the practitioner. So in this case, the first is that one is born at a time when the Buddha has arrived in this world. So the second is that the Buddha has actually taught the Dharma. Then thirdly, there are followers or practitioners that actually cultivate the path and achieve the results. Achieve the results of realization or achieve the fruits of the practice. And also people who cultivated the understanding of the path and actually entered into the path and achieve the realizations. And then the fourth is that one has met a teacher or a master that teaches the Buddha Dharma. So in this case, the teacher or the spiritual master, the virtuous friend, plays a similar role of teaching the Dharma, just like the Buddha. And then the fellow practitioners who listen to the Dharma then cultivate the path and then achieve the results. And that is also one of the signs, of the richnesses. Then on top of that, these practitioners achieve the results. Then above that, there are also positive, conducive circumstances such as people who support the teachings through various means. So in this case, these are the five conditions arising from others. In this case, those external conditions external of the practitioner. Understanding that this precious human rebirth is very difficult to achieve, difficult to attain, and having attained it, then one has the opportunity to achieve great meaning or purpose from this precious human rebirth. So one goes through the various 18 qualities, as mentioned before, the 8 freedoms and the 10 richnesses. Then one should understand that a situation whereby all these 18 factors and conditions simultaneously gather together in one individual is an extremely rare and precious opportunity or occasion. Therefore, it is very difficult to gather all these activities, to get all these factors together in one situation. And also the causes for each and every one of these factors are difficult to achieve, you know, are difficult to accomplish. And that even to achieve one of these factors, you know, qualities, one requires very extensive practice from past lives in order to achieve that. For example, one needs to keep pure ethics, you know, cultivate a practice of extremely pure ethics, and one needs to engage in extensive practices of the six perfections, you know, such as practice of generosity and so on and so forth, and as a existing condition. And then also at the end of that, one needs to make stainless prayers. And one needs to make perfect stainless prayers to achieve this precious human rebirth. Therefore, the causes for this precious human rebirth are cultivated through an extensive period of time of intensive practice. And having achieved that, you know, one should recognize this quality and generate great joy of such an existence.
Yes.
So then, not only are the causes difficult to accomplish, the causes of the perfect human rebirth, also it is difficult to describe the preciousness of this human rebirth is difficult to describe even through example. For example, when the Buddha was abiding in this world, then on one occasion the Buddha had put his hand into the earth and lifted it up, and there was some dust particles caught in his nails. And the Buddha said to his disciples, you know, which is more, the dust of the planet earth that's beneath our feet or the dust in my fingernails? So then, of course, the disciples replied, the dust in your feet, akasa, the dust of the planet earth are more than the dust in your fingernails. And so the Buddha said, those beings, the extent of beings that are being born in the lower realms are like the dust of the planet Earth in the beneath our feet. And the beings, the number of beings that are born in the higher realms of existence are like the grains of dust, the particles of dust in, within my fingernail. So in this case, this is an analogy that how rare and precious it is for beings to be born in the higher realms, and amidst that, you know, to be born as a perfect human rebirth endowed with the eight freedoms and ten richnesses.
So therefore, one should constantly rejoice in this fact. 취재가듯이 아니 용은 유소 마소 아 동번에 고노 야보지 종용나요 응우지갑라 아 종원대요 용 뭐는 저기 가나니 세르만 내면가 된데 뭐는 저기나 아 아니 취수 마소 말로 된데 전에 아니 취루바데 부다보지 용투요 말이 아다 매개만 오지 있나 매개 충중지 있나요 그 용은 유소 강가 통한다게 동목고노 아니 바드
So how can we understand that actually it's very easy to slip into lower or inferior realms of existence? And simply due to the fact that it's very difficult to cultivate, you know, in a general situation, it is very difficult to cultivate Dharma practice in a perfect way, whereas it's very easy for us to cultivate negative karma. For example, most of us here, we have heard are more or less Sambuddha Dharma, and we do engage in certain levels of practice. However, we find that our practice is almost like far from perfect, and that in the beginning of the practice, we do not generate an extremely pure motivation. Our motivation is either contaminated by delusions or self-cherishing thoughts and so forth. And in the middle, when one is actually engaging in the practice, one's mind is constantly distracted by other objects, you know, therefore one is not using complete intensity. One's practice is not intensive enough. And then at the end of the practice, one does a very imperfect dedication. One prays for long life or good health and general worldly happiness and so forth. One does not strive for higher goals of enlightenment and liberation. So therefore, one's practice is extremely weak. But when it comes to engaging in a negative karma, and you know, all these three portions then become extremely perfect, because when, for example, we're engaging in negative karma in the initial outset, the motivation is a very strong delusion such as anger. We have very intense anger or intense desire that propels us to engage in that action of negative karma. And in between, when we're engaging in that act, then we engage, you know, with perfect, complete attention. You know, our minds are completely absorbed into the act of negative karma. You know, one is not distracted. One also uses very complex intelligence, you know, to try to make it enjoyable, so to speak. And then at the end of it, one also sings, you know, in great satisfaction. One revels in great satisfaction at the negative karma that one has created. Therefore, the negative karma is extremely strong, because all these conditions of factor, action, and then conclusion are very perfectly cultivated or engaged in. Therefore, through understanding this, you know, comparing these two aspects of our lives, we can understand why in the Buddhist teachings it says it's very easy to slip into an inferior realm of existence in one's future lives.
Mm. Tanda nye kawa sami maze ni tonga chimbo. Yindu tangyo nye tonga ni, nani ruba yinna seji liyu sonji kongmo se ya zen yon, ten di tonga to tuku yori. Nani nye rong rajo ma nong yin kowa le tabi taba sam ruba yinna yon, ten di tonga to tuku yori. Nani tsima ngen son do ma je wa chi, tsima ngon du ten son. ロムナヨンって言ってんだよ。ロムトグヨロ。で、宣伝らね、中心ナンバーだばそう。向け中も中心ナンバーだばそう。あ、チェイナ。あ、で、その前にそのめめてばだ。あ、電流点飛ばしよんぐれ。で、なんか、たまにパンがまだ。もうチェイはね、チェイは
So, having achieved this precious human rebirth with these various freedoms and richnesses, then one can achieve the highest goal. You know, if one wants to emulate the biographies of previous masters, such as the highest goal of achieving enlightenment within one lifetime and one physical body, you know, so there one can achieve such a goal indeed on the basis of the potential of this human body if one seriously cultivates the path of enlightenment. And on top of that, if one is not aiming for such a goal, but one aims for the goal of the inferior vehicles of the Shravakas and Pratika Buddhas, you know, the hearers and the solitary realizers, which strive for their own individual liberation from secular existence, such goals can be achieved as well on the basis of this, the potential of this precious human rebirth. Then, if one's intention is not so lofty or altruistic, then one achieves only, you know, one only strives to be free from an inferior rebirth in future lives, then one can also do that on the basis of the potential of human rebirth by engaging in the practice of observing the ethics which abandon the 10 non-virtuous actions. You know, so if we keep the ethics abandoning the 10 non-virtuous actions, then we'll definitely be able to achieve a higher rebirth, you know, in the future life, in future lives. So therefore, Of course, we should understand that a mere being not being born in a lower state of existence itself is not sufficient, because in future lives, again, there's a possibility of falling again to inferior realms. And even in the higher realms, there are various forms of suffering that are entailed in. As long as one is not free from cyclic existence, one is not free from the moment of suffering. So therefore, one should make use of this perfect human rebirth, not only to observe the ethics of abandoning ten of virtuous actions. Above that, one should also strive to be free from cyclic existence. One should strive to cut the root of samsara existence. And not only that, one should strive to make the best use of the complete ultimate fulfillment of this precious human rebirth by striving to achieve full enlightenment to benefit others.
Yes.
So therefore, it is said this precious human rebirth is more precious than a wish-fulfilling jewel. So a wish-fulfilling jewel is a mystical or a magical jewel, which is extremely rare in this world. But if you manage to find such a, to encounter such a jewel, if you put it on top of a victory banner, you know, a banner with all the corresponding signs, which you call a victory banner, and you were to cleanse it and, you know, do a proper ritual and pray to it, it's supposed to be a wish, wish-fulfilling jewel, in like a magic jewel, in which it can grant you all the fame, all the food, and all the wealth, you know, of this life in general. However, this wish-fulfilling jewel's function is restricted only to providing providence of wealth and enjoyment of this life alone. It cannot provide for your future life. It cannot ensure you of a higher rebirth. Just by having the jewel alone cannot ensure you of a higher rebirth with abundance in the next life. So therefore, however, with this precious human rebirth, one is able to achieve the purpose of wealth and abundance and enjoyment of a higher rebirth in the future lives. One is also able to achieve even higher goals of liberation from cyclic existence and a full enlightenment of Buddhahood. Therefore, it is extremely precious, even more precious, because its potential is much more larger than the wish-fulfilling jewel. Therefore, it's considered more precious than the wish-fulfilling jewel. So while we have this precious human rebirth within our hands, it's almost like having a wish-fulfilling jewel. It can accomplish all our temporal, even ultimate goals of the spiritual path. Therefore, we should strive to make full use of it while we are still currently possessing it. You know, because a precious jewel is, wish-fulfilling jewel is so difficult to find, the moment you find it, you will hold on to it for a dear life and make full use of it instead of just putting it aside and not using it and then hoping, even if you lose it, it's sort of like you're okay about it, and then, you hope the next time you probably get a better one or something, in which case it's extremely foolish because it is very difficult to obtain. So once we have attained this precious jewel, we'll try to make full use of it. Therefore, likewise, having achieved this precious human rebirth, which is far more potential than the wish-fulfilling jewel, we should make even more use of it, put even more effort in striving to realize its full potential because you know this extreme rare occasion whereby all these conditions gather, and therefore we should use it to cultivate the Buddha Dharma instead of merely wasting one's time away, and at the end of one's life realizing that one has not really done much Dharma practice, then generating regret, and then putting one's hope for future lives. You know, that is a very inefficient kind of attitude on the spiritual path. So therefore, one should, through these various means, come to realize how meaningful, you know, what great meaning one can achieve from this precious human rebirth, how it's extremely difficult to obtain and easily lost. You know, so then through such ways, then one should strive to practice the Dharma, and one should understand how one should practice the Buddha Dharma, and if one does not practice the Buddha Dharma, how one will come to arrive at the time of regret and at the time of death. So, like this, understanding how this precious human rebirth has come about due to the gathering of these 18 different conditions, which in turn each and every one of these conditions have come about due to eons of cultivation, you know, due to long periods of intensive cultivation, and hence achieved these 18 conditions. So it's very, very important that we do not waste what we have spent long periods of time to cultivate and arrive at. You know, what we have arrived at, this current status of our existence, we should grasp the opportunity that comes with it and not abandon it by frittering our lives away with other minor things. At least, you know, even though you may not achieve, you know, faraway goals like enlightenment in one lifetime, but at least we should strive to prevent oneself from falling into a lower realm or losing this current status, you know, in our future lives. At least, in our future lives, at least we should achieve, you know, even if we can't achieve liberation in this life alone, at least in future life, we should achieve, again, this a precious human rebirth. We should at least strive for that. You know, this precious human rebirth with the various endowments and richnesses of freedoms. So then, and gradually from there, you know, then we can gradually progress to higher levels of spiritual accomplishment, such as liberation, and then ultimately to full enlightenment. So in the past, there was one saying from one of the Kadampa masters that said, you know, in the previous life, you were a fully ordained monk, you know, therefore you practiced virtue and cultivated a lot of virtue. And thank you, past life, you know, because in the past life I practiced so intensively, therefore this life I have achieved this precious human rebirth. So that was what the Kadampa master said to himself, and thank you, past life, because due to your hard work, now I have achieved this precious human rebirth. But you, who are of this life, you know, watch out, because you might just lose it all, you know, just lose it all overnight and throw yourself into the abyss of inferior existence in the future life. So thank you, past life, and watch out this life. So this is the message, the Kadampa master, that he said to himself.
Yes. deji tenje jilin go ko ani temota ya da yin de ya tenje yong de ya de kari che be sen na tanju thong chim bo yin ba da ye ga yin ba ten ma sa me gong de yong ge yo ba yin de tanju thong che ba da ye ga yin ba de sam no den ni chum ba yin na ani thong che sam na thong men da wa phong ye ga ren na chen na do tam mes ne thong men den da wa de la phong sim yong ge de thong che sam na any other than that, and it got a better message younger days somewhere.
So therefore, it is very important to understand that if we do not practice the Buddha Dharma in this life, one will achieve a great loss at the end of this life, and one will arrive at great regret. Therefore, it is important that we are constantly mindful of this fact and not be distracted by the little bits of happinesses of this life, you know. So generally, that's our general situation. We are distracted by the little fleeting pleasures of this life, such as going to movies and, you know, shopping, whatever. So we are distracted by these, and we are unable to draw ourselves, extract ourselves from this cycle, and focus on the spiritual path, simply because we have not spent enough time reflecting and thinking upon how difficult it is to, how rare it is to achieve this current status of a perfect human rebirth, immense amount of potential opportunity that comes with this current state of existence. You know, if we focus, we spend time thinking on this, rejoicing in this fact, and realizing the potential, the greater potential that could come with this human rebirth, then we would be able to focus, you know, our minds on the spiritual path. It would be very easy. So not only understanding that this precious human rebirth is difficult to obtain, also realizing that it is very easily lost. You know, it is very fragile, it is very easy, it is very brittle, very fragile, it can be destructed, you know, under the most minor conditions. Therefore, it says your leisure and opportunity are difficult to find. There's no time to waste, reverse attraction to this life. So then, in this case, it is talking about not only the precious human rebirth, but also contemplating on the truth of death and permanence.
Mm-hmm. Then they tone to do a yen under such a gentleman or young girl. Then on it, near and near, pretty line and court of the Jago and Mato, the passes a religious children, some of the chin, a long yard, tell a long mess, tell a long mess, general mess. In the Messer Ponzen and Rogue, the passes here, somebody in the garden. Tamji Jeju Majin, Nishitars, Jeto Jeju on the Nishitars, Majo Majo Sashi Nishitar, Mizet Ambassador Namtari is somewhere Kuntonk. And that Puga la Chuji Marianchi, Lo Nishu Sela Chu San Marianchi, then this lay. At that in any Chu Jego, Go, Lo, Seya Jege, Jaya Majonji, and Lo Nishu Seta. At that Dila, Tachong Mason, Seya Jege, Nishuji.
Yes. So by realizing the preciousness and the rarity of this precious human rebirth, its potential as well as its fragility, then one should such thoughts, you know, should propel us towards the spiritual path, dedication, you know, make us more dedicated towards our spiritual practice, you know, of the Dharma. Buddha Dharma, because if we do not start cultivating the Buddha Dharma as much as we can, then we feel constantly being distracted by the meaningless affairs of fleeting pleasures of this life, then we will come to a time whereby we have complete loss of opportunity or free time or leisure to practice the Buddha Dharma. For example, there's a saying in Tibetan that says that the first 20 years of one's life are spent not knowing and not understanding and not remembering the Dharma. The second 20 years of one's life are spent being motivated to practice the Dharma but not doing it. You know? So the second 20 years of the life is spent thinking, oh, I should really get down to serious practice. You know? It's almost, you know, I'm getting, you know, advanced, I'm getting serious in life. And the last 20 years of one's life are spent regretting not doing it. So thinking that, oh, no, actually if it started out earlier, I should have could have done more, could have done this and that, you know, but then, you know, not being able, not having the conditions to practice cultivate the Buddha Dharma seriously, intensively, but just merely praying for a better rebirth in the next life. So this should not be the case with each and every one of us. You know, anyone should always be mindful of this current potential that we have, and then to engage in serious practice at all times. So therefore, not only meditating on the preciousness of this human rebirth, but also reflecting on impermanence and death. By understanding impermanence and death, then we realize the necessity of our dedication, you know, full dedication to a spiritual path. And if we, by meditating on death and impermanence, realize how limited, you know, our time is that we can give to Dharma practice, you know, that there is a limit, it's not an infinite, as we might think it is. But however, it is very limited time, and there's not much time left to cultivate a Buddha Dharma. So therefore, by constantly remembering death and impermanence, this would stop our distractions, you know, from overcoming us when we're trying to dedicate ourselves to the spiritual path. This is one thing. On top of that also, if we do not remember death and impermanence, then our practices, even though we may engage in Dharma practices, then our minds, our motivations become tarnished with attachment to this life. You know, we just pray for the mere happiness and, you know, well-going of this life alone, and then we forget about higher goals and future rebirths. So therefore, our motivation for Dharma practice then becomes tarnished and impure. So therefore, by remembering death and impermanence, then that sort of like removes this stain or defilement of impure motivation by thinking that even though whatever may happen in this life, you know, whether it's extreme good or bad, you know, it is not as important as what will happen to me in the future life, because this life will leave me behind, will be left behind, the future life will come. So therefore, one puts more focus on what's going to happen to oneself in the future life more than what will happen in this life.
공덕 제도 제거야 돼. 개침 못하게 걸어.
So death, we have to, when you're meditating on death and impermanence, it's very important that we acknowledge that death is definite. You know, generally we do acknowledge that death is definite. We just have to remind ourselves that we all have to die someday. You know, for example, you know, the Buddha himself came to this world, taught the Dharma, turned the wheel of Dharma, but still eventually at the end of this enlightened activity showed the final aspect of passing away into parinirvana. And then also all the famous people that ever existed in history, you know, up to now they're only a remnant of their names and memories, not of the physical presence, you know, over the centuries. So therefore it is very important to realize not only that we have to die someday by remembering those people who have passed on before us, but also to realize that the time of death is indefinite. There is no, you know, one should not fantastically project a time that one will end one's life, or you know, by this time my life will end, because it could always happen even before that. You know, so there's, when it comes to death, in the eyes of death, there's no difference between whether you're healthy or not, whether you have terminal illness. You know, those who are healthier people could actually die before those with terminal illnesses. And it doesn't matter whether you're living in abundance or living in poverty. You know, people who are living in poverty could outlive those who are living in abundance. It doesn't matter whether you are a patient or you're a nurse, because there are instances of the nurse dying before the patient actually recovers from their sicknesses. So in this case, one should always practice the Dharma, because remembering that not only that death is definite and the time of death is indefinite, also remembering that at the time of death, everything else has to be left behind. You know, no matter how much wealth you've accumulated, how much friends and relatives you may, you know, supporting, loving friends and relatives you may have, you know, no matter how large your wardrobe is, or how great your finances are, all of your property and assets have to be left behind. You know, so therefore, even this body, physical body, that was born simultaneously with you into this life, you know, has to be abandoned at the time of death. You know, so therefore, nothing, you know, of this life goes with you, with the exception of the karma that you have created, you know, during the time of your stay in this life. You know, therefore, we have that karma, all the positive and negative karmic potentials that one has built up over this life and from previous lives, that will follow us with our consciousness into the next life. And also, the Dharma practice, the amount of Dharma practice that we cultivate in this life will be what we can fall back upon at the time of death. So therefore, it is very important to remember this and to generate renunciation, you know, to give up one's attachment to this life and practice the Buddha Dharma purely.
Yes. 아니 메다바 고면아 아니 최 넘버 고면 숨바래 단 최 넘버 고마 대용 펜보 용기요래 대용 최 넘버 고마세야 시비 냠동야 돼 그래서 매젠다 내봐 근데 냠 타봐 아니 오 로카고 아니 뒤에 가면 간디 제기도 근데 야보다 대 논신 이제는 소송용다 근데 그게 나도 전해지겠음 ऐनी नेसाले ऐनी काजा तो लम्बा ता तंडे के चिवे कालो पाजो ना कंडे चेकिंग ना तें नौजी सोसु तें ना जोना कंडे योमान दो सन्ने सम्ना दोया देला चिवे नंबर गोम्बा चेयरे तंडे नंबर गोम्ने ऐनी चिकन योबा चेकिंग रो ता योबा चेयिंग दू योबा चेया दे कारी चेकिंग ओसे ना दिगबा चेयोना ता नेसों चेकिंग रे स 아, 단다 겨와야고 들어가겠나? 얘는 제가 먼저 오가지 용기가 오래. 이 말이다. 덴데제네, 얘는 교수님 제탑, 다, 고공산의 삼노 동화제네, 겨와 돕기, 고기 오래.
So, therefore, by meditating upon, this death impermanence, one not only meditates on such, facts, you know, that one is going to die, that one's life is, very unstable. In general, one is very fragile, the fragility of one's physical body. And also one meditates on the process of death. You know, by seeing the sufferings of those who go through this process of passing on, their physical, losing the physical mobility, you know, the intense suffering of physical pain, difficulty of breathing, and so on and so forth. So to see that coming, you know, it would be to focus on that coming for us, you know, is very good in motivating us to have a serious reflection of our karmic activities in this life. So therefore, if by doing so, then one would generate a deep remorse. Here, remorse does not refer to depression, but rather refers to regretting or wanting to do something towards the negative karma that we have created. You know, if one has accumulated negative karma in this life, one from this point onwards of realizing death and impermanence, one generates remorse towards the negative karma that one has created instead of just leaving it aside. And then one also strives to, one is inspired to purify these negative karmas, and one is also inspired to engage in virtuous practices to accomplish as much positive karma as one can in this life, and one is also inspired to be more dedicated to a more pure form of practice, Dharma practice in one's life. So therefore, this is a way of generating renunciation towards this life. You know, in general, thinking about the preciousness of this human rebirth, how one can derive great meaning from it, how it is difficult and rare to achieve, and then also thinking about how fragile it is, the fragility of this human existence, that one is prone to death, and so on and so forth. And then in this way of thinking, then one is inspired towards Dharma practice. You know, one, even though one does not intensively focus on pursuing the happiness of this life, by following a spiritual path, the happiness of this life will come as a byproduct of your spiritual practice. You know, this is guaranteed. One will not lose out, you know, one will not be deprived of happiness in this life by focusing, by giving up attachment to the happiness of this life and focusing on the spiritual path. So therefore, then one would focus more on the benefits of pursuing happiness of future lives more than this life, you know. So that the future life is more important than this life, you know. So shifting our values towards that change. And then therefore, then this is the way to generate renunciation towards the appearances of this life, as is mentioned in the text. So we will leave today's talk at this point of time. If you have any questions, you may ask them now. Yeah.
どんなにすんな感じですか。どんなにすんな。なんぞ感じ。中高の公園な。その農園で行こうな。中。感じで農はしゃべりなよ。天然そういうわけですよ。パーターマコ。この農園でそうしゃべり農はしゃべりよ。天農はでなと違うし。じゃこの農園で飛ばでよまれす。
So for example, when we are perceiving phenomena, whatever phenomena that we apprehend, from our usual perception is that phenomena seems to exist from its own side, unrelated to your perception, unrelated to yourself, you know, in that sense that you, unrelated to your labeling, you know, your way of seeing it, you know, it seems to appear from its own side. So in this case, this form of perception, grasping upon this form of perception as being real, is a mistaken state of consciousness. You know, so the view of emptiness is that which says that this perception of phenomena as being existing for its own sake, completely unrelated to the perceiver. you know, then this is a fantastical projection, and the negation of this fantastical projection is what we call emptiness. It is empty of being inherently existing from his own side.
If one understands these teachings and one understands very clearly that this is what needs to be done, but laziness is so overwhelming nevertheless at the same time, what is the recommendation for challenge?
Okay. So if if having met a spiritual path, having true understanding, a clear understanding of these teachings and wanting to apply them, but if laziness overcomes oneself, you know, then how can one, what's the antidote to against this laziness? 其实, 你送去的业绩那些, 可以不来说呢,因为说是给你们,去了你们来学的人呢, 应该让你们看看, 说说雷洛差不多内容有了吧, 雷洛忘记,因为去了前面吐吧, 雷洛给你们不肯定是定不呢?
没到吧上面还可以继续人人咯起码没到吧
So Rinpoche's reply is impermanence, death impermanence is the sure antidote to laziness.
<笑><笑><笑><笑><笑>
如果你们要问中文的问题也可以问 我可以帮你们翻 Sorry.
If we're trying to do our Dhamma practice and we find ourselves in a situation where life appears to be pleasurable, what is the best way to think about the pleasure? How is the best way?
So when you're distracted by a condition that appears to be pleasurable,
what is a good way to think about it that will make our mind towards Dhamma, even in that situation?
Mm. So you're talking about, for example, a worldly pleasure that distracts you. I'm not Dharma pleasure. 其实去去去别人了，因为西北，对哇，第西北对哇下去，第第建给那三年吧，那西北对哇提了，马车也去切土，因为说是给身体去了出队也去切土，因为可是去了出去也去切土，因为等你西北对哇提了，因为说是给大卫偷了肯定是去过呢，大卫肯定是去过呢。
肯定是大官。嗯，随便电话的，查询的干呀，感觉这些个是有。喏，随便听了。嗯，不是，他这是帮国民人民上过去了嘛？嗯。国民人民，他等于弄些嘞，虽然干巴人呐，嗯，那个国外的钱这个些，虽然干部是的，是把他，呃，交朋友的，是个。嗯。现在，啊，但国外的谈多些咯，呃，去这边就过了，啊，国外的谈多些咯，结果过了。那国外的他的他不啦。
啊，你随便得话就签了这个名头，随便得话就签过瘾了，啊，你们就是把那获得嘛多，是把那特别特别的多给我嘛的，嗯，啊，现在按照，基于全国两年级为高了，啊，去年这个月的，啊，我就公布给叫人招待人是，是吧？叫人招待的有，那他比叫人招待的，嗯，用用个啥嘛，国外中央就容易进的，同样呢。
So,
Rinpoche's reply is that when you are experiencing any forms of pleasure of psychic existence that stands in the way of Dharma practice, then you should again take a Dharma viewpoint towards that pleasure. You should go on a more mature or higher level of perception of that pleasure by remembering the logistics of how cyclic existence goes about circling, and what are the causes for cyclic existence? Because in the text it says, those with bodies are bound by the craving for existence. So therefore, desire itself is a form of craving, and this is particularly this thing that binds you, this pleasure, this craving for this particular attitude of craving for that pleasure that has bound you to the countless sufferings of cyclic existence. So by remembering that, you know, by remembering that, then you are able to avert not only so thinking on this higher level of intelligence, then you're able to avert your distraction towards this object of desire, and you're able to divert your mind, you know, to a higher goal of liberation from samsara. It's precisely our craving for the pleasures of higher existences, you know, such as those of gods and humans, the pleasures abiding in those realms, our craving to achieve those that binds us within cyclic existence. And therefore, remembering the logistics of how cyclic existence actually goes about, and that the root of cyclic existence, you know, or rather the agent that brings about this reaction of cyclic existence, is the craving attachment. Then tying that thought, recognizing that thought craving attachment, and tying it in with all the sufferings that we experience in cyclic existence, seeing that as a cause for that, you know, and then having the general picture, greater picture of cyclic existence, then this you know, inspires you to practice the Buddha Dharma more than fulfilling the temporal movement of desire. Mesti di neka ari kya ka ari korangi shungi ane mongbe wangi ane lungba shenba thang ane ma chu do yores ane mongba te ko shung korangi mongba te ane seye ki che tu nimi seye ki nyamnen che dang si yo na che che dang si yo na
da che dong ane Manru Mueshiya, Insumjian Dijin Yunya, Tendriki Chuji, Monam Jabjina, Monam Tuya Tos, Pengiro, Karina, Tanyan Namjine, Nemo Chuzo Nasum Menjung Shing, Sent Monam Jabjiro. That's
So in general, there are any form of Dharma practice or any thoughts of good intention that may arise or they may engage in any moment of time, you should always do that with the motivation or a prayer to stop all forms of warfare and suffering, famine and disease in the world, you know, pray that they may remove their ignorance. And for that purpose, any form of Dharma practice will be effective, as long as you keep this motivation in mind. Whether a war breaks out or not, you know, that is in the hands of the political leaders. In which case, if we were to try to tell them to stop this war, and by telling them Dharma, making them see the Dharma, understand the Dharma, and putting a would sort of like go against their plans, you know? And this is not within our current ability to do that. So therefore, we can only but pray, you know. And so we can, whatever practice we do, we should, like for example, their prayers in the Guided Bodhisattva's Way of Life. We talk about prayers to, they mentioned verses to pray for the stopping of warfare, disease, and famine. And so you can encompass these prayers. Include these verses in your daily prayers as a form of dedication behind every positive action that you do throughout the day to dedicate towards that purpose.
And then
네 제바데 제도스 제른 보체 제송가파세 디 강사데 미 칸데지 이마스 나서 답을 싱크로한게 에네 가서 좀 자좀데 데 롬녀 데 톨 아 제른 보체 자좀게 톨안 롬녀 양세 양세 나 아 양세 양세 체야테 제균 생카이나 이 칸데 쉐게 망부도사 이 모양기 팔 랭카네 스갸고이나
송가파 세대야데 송가파 세 송가파 세야데 근데 그건 통사게 사내대라 송가하시고요 대인품바인다 송가파하죠 그다 보호되지는게 공사되지로 보바하신도 폐성도 송기여되지 않는다 송가파하시 송가파시고야데 텐데시하고 다데 간대지레나 이제가 그래서 자기 공안한테 제일 쉬워요. 제진 잠배요. 남주 제진 잠배요. 매일 소수들에서 배받지. 옛날에 언제 도망 넘었나? 나몇 탐험을 넘지인지. 중요한 공안에 단다 기회신이 주제동으로 이제 된다고 꿈들 공안 없는 이제 자식. 근데 제진 잠배요. 또 언제 잠배요. 그 자식. 근데 그 단다 사사 요구를 야표 놈년노 아니 놈년노 와서 마세 대다 아니 두반년진노 자제제네 조사주정 감내정 단대제네 아니 염도 투주의 종유류 아니 고농의 투주의 용안 요한 농신 마 요자부 송만 인자 아니 편도 진보 요대 관계되나 놈년지 제나 선도 편보 요한에서 노조적인 본보 요야 편도 차기 요로
So the main reason why Lama Tsongkhapa has the name Tsongkhapa is because he was born in the region of Tibet called Tsongkha. So therefore, Tsongkhapa means the person, the one who is from Tsongkha, the region of Tsongkha. So in this case, Lama Tsongkhapa is considered as the embodiment or the emanation of Arya Manjushri, you know, the Venerable Manjushri, who is the Buddha of wisdom. And you know, his emanation to this world, there appears this form called Lama Tsongkhapa in human form, you know, showing the ordinary aspect of human form. So Lama Tsongkhapa, through practice and cultivation, achieve the state of Manjushri, achieve direct perception of Manjushri. Firstly, he took ordination at a very young age, and gradually to practice achieve direct vision of Manjushri as he would perceive another person. Then he went to Lhasa, where he practiced with the extensive studies, and taught extensive studies, also did intensive practice, and went to the one of the hermitages in the mountains and engaged extensive austerities, intensive practice of extensive austerities to purify negative karma, accumulate positive potential, and then gradually achieve perfect realizations of the path enlightenment. So therefore, due to the virtue of such a sublime being, all of the works that he has written, you know, especially the writings regarding to the path enlightenment, are extremely beneficial because of the quality of the sublime being having composed these texts. So by studying these texts, studying these works, are extremely considered in general to be extremely beneficial to the mind, and it's for this purpose that we engage in the study of Lama Tsongkhapa's teachings.
Yes.
So please practice cultivate in pure determination all the teachings that you have heard that were taught to you in this session. Let's turn to page 3. It's a short mandala offering.
Oh,
Paragraph of page 6.
Sanjo, Sanjo, Sanjo.